This conference is being recorded.
Okay, we're back on the line. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I just want to introduce myself for people that don't know me. I'm Cliff Harwin. I'm the organizer of the Highly Sensitive Person Friendship Circle. Started the group. It's actually 2 years. We started March 23rd of 2008. And we have members from all over the world. I'm located in central New Jersey. Originally, I thought it was going to be a local group, but there was just a lot of interest in it, and I'm just amazed that we have people from all over. I try to have different types of meetups. I try to have in-person meetups, teleconferences, such as the one that you're on now, and also I have teleseminars where I get into, I get into more depth of different subjects that we get into. I also have handouts, and also I record the conferences. This particular conference is being recorded for people that can't be on the call because of time constraints or because of people being from on the other side of the world. I try to get as much information to highly sensitive people as I can. I wrote a book 2 years ago, Making Sense of Your High Sensitivity. I'm on the high side of being a highly sensitive person, and I wrote about my experience in being a highly sensitive person. I only found out about this 5 years ago when I went to an adult ed class in New York City, and I was just kind of amazed what I learned, that being a highly sensitive person is not a terrible thing. It's an inherited character trait, and I never felt that when I found out about it, it just opened up a whole new world to me. And the fact that I have, I've had a lot of experience in business and personal relationships and things like that. And I really wish that I would have known about highly sensitive people much earlier in my life, because things would have been a lot different. Okay, the rules for the teleconference, I want people to be comfortable. I want you to feel that you're in an atmosphere which you're not going to be judged. It's going to be a safe, supportive, and non-judgmental atmosphere. It's very important because I need to be in that situation, and I really want to make everybody comfortable to do so. I would like this conference to be as interactive as possible because we learn from each other. It's not mandatory that you say anything. You can just observe. And you could just listen to the conference, afterwards, because this conference is going to be recorded. But we really learn a lot by sharing our experiences and our thoughts. It's also a great way to vent your feelings and to realize that you're not alone. So based on that, we also have some new members that I want to welcome. If you do. You can, as I said, I don't want you to say anything you're going to be uncomfortable with. You don't have to mention your name, although you can. You can mention your name, and also you can mention where you're from. So this way people get an idea of, where you're calling from. That's up to you whether you want to do that. I would like to give everybody the opportunity who wants to speak the time to speak and for them to feel comfortable enough to jump into the conversation. As I said, I moderate the teleconferences. I want everybody to feel comfortable. I want everybody to say what they would like to say. Okay, based on that, are there any questions, any thoughts? Okay, we can get started. I try to put a lot of thought into the different subjects that we talk about, because we highly sensitive people are very deep-thinking individuals. And, I really encourage highly sensitive people to think as much as possible about their situation, whether they're happy, whether they're not, and also to not feel, to feel good about their high sensitivity rather than thinking that it's a detriment. When I first found out about being highly sensitive in the class that I went to, I would say that more people than not felt negative about their high sensitivity. And I really didn't. It really opened up a whole new world to me, and I really never thought as being a highly sensitive person a negative thing, although sometimes sensitivity can be thought of as negative, but I never thought that way. The subject of today's teleconference is, do you have the courage to be your HSP self? Now, that could be, I could have easily just had a straight out question saying, do you have the courage to be yourself? And I'd like to get some feedback on whether you are comfortable being a highly sensitive person. If you have any questions about it, whatever your thoughts or feelings, just throw them out. And as I said, you're not going to be judged. And I'd just like to get a conversation going on this. Any thoughts, any comments, any questions?
Well, hi, this is Martha Cliff.
Hi, Martha.
Hi. I had been thinking about the topic, and I think I'm like you at the high end of sensitivity, but I'm one of the outgoing types of people. I'm a teacher, and I'm involved with people and social and so forth. But knowing that I'm an HSP has helped me understand myself, so I'm grateful for that. But even with all my involvement with people and understanding through therapy and other things, I still feel embarrassed sometimes because of my extreme sensitivity, because it's a little bit different from the other folks, you know.
Okay, I could definitely relate to that. Can anybody relate to Martha's experience? I can definitely relate to what you said, Martha, because it's very easy for people to just fit in with society and to be the same. And the fact of the matter is we are different. And I found that when I was younger, especially in my, my school days, you don't want to stand out. You don't want to be different.
That's right.
So that's
that's for sure.
So we're starting off at a young age trying to be who we're not.
Right.
Okay, and this becomes a habit. And through habit, it just takes us into adulthood, whatever age we are at this point. It just carries over to where we are at this point. Do you think that that's the case in a lot of the situations here?
Yes, and Cliff, I taught third and fourth grade, and I can imagine you as a sensitive, nice little fellow in my class.
You know what? I wouldn't have said a word. And I would be praying that you wouldn't call on me.
I know. But I was even too shy. Well, we interpose like shyness with sensitivity. I know it's not the same thing, but in high school, I didn't want to speak in class either.
Yeah, that was the worst thing because I would get all flustered if a teacher called on me.
Yep.
I would get very flustered and I blush very easily. That's not necessarily a highly sensitive person trait, but it's a trait where you become over aroused. And I, sometimes if I eat something that's spicy, or sometimes if I'm just overwhelmed, I still blush to this day. So, it's very easy for us to be we don't want to stick out like a sore thumb.
No, but Cliff, I love sensitive people, I gravitate to sensitive people.
Well, do you find that you gravitate to sensitive people because you know more about your high sensitivity?
It's possible. I just love that quality in other people. And I guess I have learned to accept it more in myself lately, thanks to Elaine Aaron and you and Ted Zeff.
Okay, well, that's good, because, as I said, I wish I would have had this information. I wish I would have known about this earlier, because it would have been a lot easier for me to do a lot of things. And, you know, why you act certain ways, it just makes sense that because of my high sensitivity that I had a lot of challenges. And if I would have known about the high sensitivity at a young age, I would have made allowances for it.
Yes.
Okay, and being a highly sensitive person doesn't necessarily mean that you're an introvert. You can be, Elaine Aaron mentioned that 30% of highly sensitive people can be extroverts. So it doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, we kind of put ourselves in a classification at a young age, and we get into a habit of acting a certain way, and it just follows us throughout life. I'd like to point this question out to the group. Do you feel that you'd like to change yourself, or I don't know? Do you feel that there are things about yourself that you'd like to change?
Go ahead. This is Elizabeth. I don't know who else is trying to say something. I don't want to interrupt.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. Well, okay, after you have your say, then the other person will get on the line. That's fine.
Okay. This is Elizabeth. I'm from North Carolina. And I think the times I feel the most awkward that I really have tried to get away from is a group setting where I have, maybe it's a book study, just a group, but I have thought about something deeply. And when I express myself, it's on another page compared to maybe it sounds overstated or very strongly stated, or and then people are shocked.
In a good way or a bad way?
Well, it's a good way, but I feel so awkward because then everyone's looking at me, and I did not make a heavy statement for people to look at me. You know, I was just processing something that was meaningful to me.
Okay.
And so that's a moment I've had too many times.
Okay, so, but it doesn't sound like it was. It doesn't sound like people were looking at you in a negative way.
It feels so. It feels like it.
Yeah. But see, the thing is, we don't give ourselves enough credit. Highly sensitive people don't give themselves enough credit for coming up, because we are deeper thinkers and we might see things in a different way. But that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Why?
And I don't know, I found in my experience that if I say something that people, you know, that's different, it's looked at as a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't always feel that way. I definitely relate to your experience, Elizabeth, where you kind of feel that you're throwing something out there and it's totally from outer space. But the more confident I become in myself, the more I'm able to get my opinion out, and people gravitate towards that. People gravitate more to people that are different.
I can relate to what Elizabeth's saying. Do you mind
if I say something?
My name is Amy. I'm in Chicago. I completely understand what you're saying, Elizabeth, and I know how it feels, and I also know what you're talking about, Cliff, is. But what happens is that what I was going to say when we were both talking at once I tend to worry about what other people think. And then that's what I was going to share, Elizabeth, when you and I were both talking. And this relates to what you were saying, because here you're probably incredibly intuitive. You're probably very spiritual, and you talk on a different level, a much deeper intuitive level. And then, because this happens to me all the time, so I come out with this statement, you know, when I'm talking to people. It started really early when I was younger. I could not even relate to my family. They were talking on like a one-dimensional plane, and I was on like 15. I was on like 15 dimensions, and then, you know, if there was a problem in the family, I would bring it up, and then nobody could really grasp what I was saying. So when I was a little girl, I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people in this world? Like, don't they get it? And so, now that I'm an adult, I'm 37, and now learning about this HSP trait, which makes so much sense to me now, why I have behaved the way I have, is that when you're talking on another level, and then people just stare at you like a deer in headlights, you do. You feel very strange and very awkward. What I do is I shut myself down and I just don't share at that level. What I heard in work is that I have to talk to people where they are. And you're probably pretty intuitive to where you can kind of feel like you got to maybe word it a different way or say something different in a different way, because you can't just come out with your HSP self because people just don't get it. I mean, half the time, I mean, 20% of the people will. But
right.
I can relate to that. And my thing was to relate to what you said, Elizabeth, is that when I do share on my 15-dimensional self, I feel very awkward and kind of like I worry about what people think of me. And basically we're here to feel like we belong, and it kind of makes you feel like you don't belong.
Right.
So.
Okay, you both brought up some very good points. Okay, I don't think there's anyone on this call that doesn't feel self-conscious, and also feel the same challenges that you both expressed. Now, we have a choice of how we want to deal with it. We could either not say anything, or we can say our piece and just go with it. Or Any other suggestions? Let's figure out some strategies how we can deal with this. We can not deal with it at all. We can deal with it. Or maybe we can do some other things. Any other thoughts or comments about that?
Well, Cliff, this is Pat. I guess the obvious answer to that for me would be to kind of associate with like-minded people.
Good
and,
point.
I think that probably there are groups of people that are just, speak more on the surface and maybe, light conversation about, relationships and whatnot. But I too have experienced the same thing where I've stopped a conversation and thought maybe I became too analytical about a subject. But I think it'd be pretty stimulating, actually, to talk to a bunch of people who have the same concerns and want to talk about the same issues.
Okay, well, you know what? That's why I have these teleconferences, because it's very important that we talk to each other. Because it's just amazing how similar we all feel, that we're not alone. This is very, these feelings are real. And it's kind of, it's very difficult to deal with these feelings when you think that you're the only person that's dealing with them. Okay? We have to pick our, we have to be more selective with who we're going to share our thoughts with. Okay, there are some people that we can, and some people that if we get into it deeper, we could use our intuition too. We're highly intuitive. And I think that we have that intuition too that will guide us to have conversations, to take them as far as we should with certain people. And a lot of our angst is we don't have a lot of patience with other people. Is this true?
This is Amy. That is very true for me. I have no patience.
But we don't. Yeah. We don't. We expect, correct me if I'm wrong, but we expect other people to feel the way we feel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's just not true. It's just not true. I think the key to it is, like Pat, you brought up a very good point, we have to associate with more like-minded people. And with the Internet, this is just a way, it was mentioned that they found out about this group from just Googling. And it's just amazing how, you know, people can come together. I don't think it's a coincidence that the people that are on this call are on this call because they were searching for, I don't know, maybe we're all searching for validation. Okay? And I'm here to tell you that there's nothing wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with us, and the more that we know about ourselves, the more we know what our wants and needs are, and the more confident we're going to feel in expressing our opinions and thoughts if we choose to. And I think it's a matter of picking and choosing the conversations we have with different people. You're going to have, we've had teleconferences on friendships. Okay, you're going to have, we mentioned that with friends, you're going to have friends for different types of things. You might have a friend that you might go to a seminar with. You might have a friend that you're going to play tennis with. You know what I mean? We have to know that we have the ability to pick and choose people and situations where we're going to feel comfortable. And the only way we're going to do that is to know ourselves and to know what we want and need. And there's nothing wrong with us going for what we want and need, and we shouldn't feel guilty about it. Okay, we tend to put other people's needs ahead of our own. Do you find that this is true?
True.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And to be yourself, you have to know yourself. And that's the reason for the teleconference. That's the reason for, you know, different things that I have on my website and my book. I mentioned just a lot of different things regarding this. Also, do you find it's really hard to be yourself?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Oh, Tiffany, you want to say something?
See, we're on the same wavelength. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to, this is Amy again. I was going to say that because I feel like I have to shut myself down when I'm when I'm around certain people.
Right.
And I know I can only go so far. And it's sometimes, I mean, now that I understand this more, and I used to get very disappointed.
Right.
Because you're looking to connect. I look to connect with all people I'm in touch with.
Right.
So it's important that I'm neutral with people, and that's where the patience comes in, like neutral, like love people where they are.
Right.
And know that I won't be able to, I can't have expectations, which is weird for me to say because I don't mean that as a negative.
Right.
I mean it as in a neutral position. You know, I just go with it. You don't have to. Don't expect anything from anyone. You can. So, but that's a constant thing I have to remember all the time.
Right.
Personal expectations, but
well,
expectations with yeah. So, what do you think about expectations?
Okay, well, that's a really good point because expectations. Is it right? Is it good to have expectations? Because why not expect things? You know what I mean?
Right.
You can look at it two ways. Why not have expectations? Okay, but on the other hand, sometimes if we have expectations, we're disappointed if they don't meet what we had originally thought would have happened.
Right.
So the question is, okay, so maybe the question is, why not have expectations, and why not have the expectation that you're going to have a good time, regardless
right.
of what happens?
But just not expect that you're going to get that from other, you know, that other people can't make you have a good time.
They can't, but you know what? You can be in the frame of mind
right,
where
right.
You'll have going in that I'm going to have a good time
right.
regardless of what happens.
Right.
Okay, and maybe just if you, let's say you're going to a meeting or going to a, you know, a social thing, you could try to, you know, see, you know, ask people general questions like, you know, what kind of hobbies they have, what kind of interests they have. And, you know, sometimes you might have a common interest. Okay, it might not be deep conversation. Okay, it depends on what your expectations are. Do you want to meet a friend? Do you want to, you know what I mean? You just want to have conversation. It depends on what the expectations are. I think you have to see if you have to really question whether the expectations you have are realistic. That's something to think about.
Something that I've been working on just recently, I was talking with one of my, I'm a clairvoyant, so I read energy and all that. That happened way before I just learned about this trait, okay HSD.
Okay.
And probably a lot of people on this call are very clairvoyant too, and they may not know it, but is attaching from, like emotionally attaching from certain pictures that you have, so clairvoyants see pictures. So when you are meeting with a friend, you know, I totally understand what you're saying, having that expectation that you're going to have fun, but detaching the emotional,
I know what you're saying. You're getting your emotions involved more than you're getting emotional,
right,
rather than using the rationale that, you know, using, you want it to happen. You're trying to make things happen that might not happen, where you can't force it.
Right.
Okay, I think the answer is you can't force something to happen that might not. You know,
right,
some people you're going to click with, and the fact that you're clairvoyant, I think that's an advantage. Because
right,
your clairvoyant intuition will tell you people to associate with and people to not associate with.
Right. So
it's going to give you signals of who you should associate with.
Right.
And also who you could have a deep conversation with and who you can't.
Right. But before I knew about this HSP trait, I thought that there was something wrong with me. But now I know that some people are like this and some people aren't. So I didn't really fully understand that. To some degree, everybody's clairvoyant and sensitive.
Right.
But when I can't connect with someone, let's say like my brother-in-law,
right,
who is so antithesis, it's just on the opposite side of the spectrum, and I'm thinking, I don't know many people who I can't have a meaningful conversation with. My expectation is that I just know we have a good relationship, so that's my expectation. But I know that I can't have deep, Amy conversations with him because that's just not the way he is.
Okay.
He's not an HSP.
So that's how I'm neutral. You just mentioned something that's very realistic. Are you okay with that?
I am now, but before I didn't understand it because it's my sister's husband.
Okay.
So I had a high expectation for this relationship.
Okay.
So I resisted him a lot, thinking, does he think something's wrong with me? You know, am I too emotional about this? Or, you know, and then I would judge myself. And then I would judge him. Well, he's not. He's unfriendly. You know, what is she
right,
doing with him?
Right. That's something when the emotions get involved.
Right.
Then it kind of takes your inner emotions on a on a collision course.
Yeah. Right.
It does, because things get a wag. You know, when you're thinking emotionally, that's not normally the best way to go sometimes. Sometimes we just have to see what the way things are and to just accept it. Okay? Something that we all need to remember is that everyone isn't going to love us. And everybody is not going to connect with us, even though we want them to be. And I know that it's kind of difficult because we feel that there's something in us, that we feel something wrong with us if people don't like us. And that's a habit that we've gotten ourselves into. I know that I have, where we take it personally. I take it personally. Is anybody in
the
line?
Is that a trait?
Yeah, I do that. Inherited character trait. It is an HSP trait.
Okay.
Yeah, because we internalize everything, and we want to be, we're people pleasers. That's another thing. And because of that, if people don't connect with us on the level that we would like them to, we feel that that's our problem.
Right.
That's for sure. You got it on point. I'd like to say something.
Please, Martha, again.
This is very interesting about expectations. I belong to an organization called Al-Anon. Maybe some people know about it. I've been in 26 years because of my daughter, who actually, she disappeared well over 13 years ago. We don't know where she is. But the point is, that is a wonderful program. And in Al-Anon, we say that expectations are premeditated resentments. In other words, you know, if you expect something from somebody that they're going to just do what we want or be in a certain way, you know, that's a good way to build up resentment, you know.
It is. It is. And you know what? We're not that, you know, although we feel different, we're really not that much different than others, because everyone has the need to be accepted.
That's right.
We'll think about it more than other people. Okay, other people might be hurt, but they'll slough it off and then it won't bother them. For us, we're going to internalize it and it'll stay with us longer.
It drives me nuts.
It does. But it's not us. It's not us. It's them.
I hate that.
everybody on the call, I want them to repeat. It's not us. It's them.
It's not us.
Yeah, that's very empowering. I mean, we can laugh about it, but you know what? It's the truth. It's the truth. We feel that there's something wrong with us if people don't like us.
Yeah.
And there's a question I want to point out. We brought this out before, but this is very important. Why is it important? I don't know, why is it so important to us the way people feel about us? What do we care what other people think of us?
I think for me it was that I wasn't loved unconditionally in my family of origin, and I traveled, you know, I didn't have high enough self-esteem, but I spent a lot of money and time and energy with therapy and counter groups.
Wow.
Consciousness raising group, you name it, every kind of, you know, trying to get healthier.
Right.
Although my sensitivity will always be there. But I think it's because of an insecurity and a lack of confidence. That's me. That's what I'm tossing out.
Well, I think we can all relate to that. Isn't that true, everybody?
Yeah, definitely me. It was family. Family, they made me feel like not wanted or like I had a problem.
Right.
You know, and I always wanted to please them, and to this day now I can't, no matter how successful I am.
Yeah.
So I had to learn how to just deal with it, you know?
Isn't it amazing? I just find it so amazing how here we are adults, and we just haven't outgrown our childhood yet.
Yeah.
You know,
it is God-given, though, with an instinct. We have an instinct that we're born with that our parents love us and will value us and accept us, and it's very difficult to realize that they didn't.
Different level, not all. Yeah.
Right, and, you know, the thing is, you know, we can always look back on our lives, and we can also, you know, we can look back at certain things that happened in our lives, people, whether it be relatives, whether it be people in our lives, you know, teachers, whatever. And it's just amazing how the things that happened in our childhood can affect us throughout our lives. If we choose it to be.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Cliff.
If we choose it to be, okay? Now, we do have a choice, okay? We can you know, this is not a right or wrong answer for all of us. We have a choice to look back and to maybe learn from the experiences we've had rather than be paralyzed by them.
Very good.
Okay.
I can't, what I hear you saying and what I really am relating to and feeling good about is actually the more I understand myself, the less I'm seeking someone to understand me.
Right.
That's very good. I agree. Yes.
That's what I'm feeling from learning tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cliff.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
I have a question. Cliff,
please.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is empaths different from introverts? If you're an empath and an introvert, or can you have both?
You can't have both.
Okay.
An empath is, you know, you're very sympathetic. You have strong feelings to other people.
Okay.
Okay. An introvert is, you know, you kind of shy away from others.
Okay.
Being an introvert, it's not necessarily a highly sensitive person trait. It could be from an experience that you had in childhood that have given you introverted, characteristics.
Okay.
Sorry, Cliff, this is Sharon.
Yes.
Could I just interject a bit here?
Please do. Please do.
Because I'm, as you know, I'm at the high end of high sensitivity, but I'm also very introverted as well.
Okay.
And I've been reading about both.
Okay.
And an introvert, it's like high sensitivity, it's an inherited trait.
Okay.
And it's a matter of energy where, it's not that we don't like people, but that we can get very drained, our energy level. Like, we need time alone to, after we've been with people, we need that time alone.
Right.
And that's
That's, you know what, for highly sensitive people, that's really a thing that really, it's a common thing for all of us.
Sure.
Because it doesn't make any difference whether you're introverted or extroverted, because highly sensitive people can be both. But it's good that we know our limits. Because if we go above our physical and emotional limits, that's when we're going to have problems.
Yeah, I pay the price for that lots of times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And,
I agree with that, too.
In ways we pay the price, you know, Martha, can you mention how you pay the price?
Yes, because I vibrate practically, especially because I'm part of the 30%, because I'm, outgoing, and when I get, wound up, you know, by talking, and I get so easily stimulated, and then I just can't calm down too easily,
right.
You know? I'm
right.
just not peaceful or centered, and I should do more meditation. I know that.
Okay, but you know what? We need to have boundaries. Okay, we have to set boundaries for ourselves, and we have to set boundaries for other people and the way they treat us. Okay? The more that you know about yourself, the more you're going to know what you need. Okay? The more you know what you need, the more you can tell other people what you need.
Cliff, have you read about the sensory input index?
I haven't. Can you mention
it? It's really a short article, and I will send it to you, but it's about learning what is your threshold.
Okay, you know what? I'm very interested in that. Maybe I'll put it
in my book,
buddy.
I would like to see that. I would like to.
Yeah, me too.
Cliff,
I'll get it to Cliff.
I want to see that, please. Thank you.
Okay, you know what? If you can send me that, Elizabeth, that would be very, I'd really like to see that, and I could put it in my newsletter.
Thank you.
Okay.
Because this is very important. This is very important, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it deals with the subject of, do you have the courage to be your HSP self? And I mentioned before that you'll have more courage when you know more about yourself, okay?
Right.
Because you're not going to care. The more confident you are, the more you're not going to care what other people think.
Okay.
It's not going to be as important, because when you feel good about yourself, it's all about the self-esteem factor. Okay, how do you build up your self-esteem? Okay, by associating with other people. it'll give you more confidence when you associate with other people like you're on the call now. I'm sure that everybody feels a connection. Okay, you can't have the same kind of conversation with people that you know in the outside world. Is that true?
No. That's true. Because they look at you like you're nuts.
Okay. Well, we're not nuts.
I tried it.
I wouldn't be on this call.
we're not nuts. You know, I tell you, we can easily go crazy with the things that are going on in this world, and I read things in newspapers, and I see things on the Internet.
Oh, yes.
And I could just... I don't know where this world is going. Okay?
Yeah.
And the only thing that I can do is, you know what? I can only do what I can do, and I can only control what I can control.
Okay?
And that's the thing. And you have to realize that's the purpose of this call, because now you're going to realize that there are more people like yourself. And the more
Cliff?
Yes. Yes.
I have a question about that, about this whole economy thing and all this fear on the news. I don't even watch the news. I don't talk about health care plans with people because everyone's just freaking out and they get all freaked. And
right.
Because, and I feel it. I notice myself, this is Amy again,
sure.
I can feel their fear, and then it attaches to me like a sponge.
Right.
So I put up a boundary of not even going there because I don't want their fear to transfer to me. Now, I'm not always good at it, but I've been recognizing it even more than ever.
Well, I can guarantee you that you're going to recognize it even more because the way you just verbalized it, and also you're going to get the recording of this call.
Oh,
so you can hear, that's another thing, you're going to hear this. You're going to hear what we've said on the call. Okay, you're going to get a lot more out of it, and now you're going to, that's a defense mechanism that you can use.
Right.
Not getting into subjects where you know there's going to be problems.
Right. I avoid even watching the news and stuff and reading the newspaper. And I, like you said, you just are concerned about what's going on. It does kind of put you in a little isolation state, but I feel better not discussing. I don't need to know what. Well, here's my question. I do have a question, actually. That's what I wanted to bring up. How do you, or anyone on the phone, how do you guys protect yourself from other people's fear? And are HSPs more fearful than other people? Because I tend to go to that. Sometimes I don't know what's mine and what's somebody else's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So anybody have any thoughts on that?
Well, I've had fear all my life has been an enemy to me. So I've struggled with that all my life.
Yeah.
And I'm empathic, so I feel other people's feelings, so I can identify with this.
Well, I try to. This is Malika from New Jersey. I'm sorry, guys. I try to release. I try the new release technique. That's been helping me because people drain me in work everywhere, you know. So I come home and I try to release. And you put a window between your chest and your stomach, and you release all the negative energy, and you'll feel different. And I've been using that, and that's been working.
Well, that's
so
does anybody do...
Try that, yeah.
Has anybody ever heard of EFT and doing tapping on you? On
that's something else.
EFT. Yes, EFT, but I don't know much about it.
I don't either. Anybody in the call know about that?
I've heard
about
that.
No, but I've heard of it, but you don't want people touching you, right? If they
no,
if
no,
they
you do it for your...
Right? Oh, you do it for
yourself.
Is it like Reiki?
It's just tapping. Actually, if you go to emofree.com.
Okay,
The thing is, you just have to remember to do it. You know, I just answered. I was just asked about the fear question, and then I just answered my own question.
Well, you know what? With the tapping.
Go ahead.
With the tapping thing, I read it on one of the sites. Cliff, I don't know if you relate to this site. Somebody referred us to a guy that he talks about different things we can do to help ourselves calm down, and one of those is that dual head vibrator, but it's got two heads that are going up and down.
Okay.
And actually, it's like the tapping, but it does help you calm down.
Where do you put the vibrating parts? On what part?
Like on your arms or on your legs or on your back?
Oh.
Or your head? I mean, it's just very, very relaxing. And it's,
I never heard of it.
What's it called?
It's Homedics makes it. It's a no-brainer. It's not an expensive thing. It's just the specific heads on it go up and down. They don't irritate you by just vibrating. They actually are going up and down, and they give you a great sensation and help you relax.
Okay. I have a couple of thoughts. First of all, I do want to answer the question about the fear, whether highly sensitive people are more fearful than others.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that they are. We
oh,
might.
You don't.
I don't. I've also was on Blog Talk Radio last week, and we talked about whether highly sensitive people are more ill than others.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that's true. It's something that we're not that much different than you think. Okay, we might take in more thoughts, but we're not more prone to illness than others. We're not more fearful than others. We're not prone to depression more than others.
Oh.
We're not.
That's good to know.
Okay, but if we don't take care of ourselves, that's when our immune system goes down.
Yes.
And that's when we're susceptible to illnesses. And as I said, with fear, we take on other people's fear, but it doesn't mean that we're more fearful. About relaxation techniques, I find that exercise is a good thing for me to do. Also, something else that I found out about a couple of years ago, it's a specific type of CD that's good for people with highly sensitive nervous systems. The guy in California that I found out about, and he's got a series of tapes, of which I have on my website. The one I like in particular, I like Calm, and I like Uplifting. And you'll see those on my website. The website is www.thehighlysensitiveperson.com. I have that on the meetup page. But it's specific types of classical music that actually slow your heartbeat down.
Wow. Who made these CDs?
Well, it's a guy named Joshua Leeds. You'll see it on my website. I have it on
the
product section. As I said, it has information about the product, and also it has sample tracks on it.
Okay.
One is good for uplifting. One is good for calm. I have another one for sleep. And as I said, I have four of them. And they're really very good because it's made by a sound engineer who purposely put this music together for people that have what he says compromised not immune systems, but overactive nervous systems. And that's what highly sensitive people do. So
right.
I actually used the Calm CD when I wrote my book. Okay, now I don't know how I found out about this. You know, you Google on the internet, whatever. I found out about this. I have a problem concentrating. You know, I have my thoughts going all over the place. And I needed something to calm myself down. And sure enough, I wrote the book while listening to the CD Calm.
Wow.
So when I got the information, as I said, when I got the information, I spoke to the person that did it. I told him what I was doing. This is last year that I told him that I have a website. I want to have products that are specifically for highly sensitive people. He looked at the products, and I'm carrying his products now.
Wow.
So that's another tip. Anybody else have thoughts? Aromatherapy is another. I have some aromatherapy products on my website, too. Are there any other relaxation tips that can calm us down or... You know, slow us down a little bit. Anybody else have any thoughts?
Everybody.
Covering your eyes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I listened to this thing called the Life Flow. It's you put headphones on, and you do it every day. It's about 40 minutes long, and it's this sound technology that it puts you into a meditative state even faster than just doing the breathing. And you listen to these tones, and it balances out both of your hemispheres.
Okay, you know, these are all important things because certain certain things that were brought up, I mean, this is, we're going to have different reactions to it. And these are good tips for us to look into. Because we definitely need ways to... We need ways to recharge our batteries. And as I mentioned previously, we don't want to go above our physical and emotional limits. Because that's when we have sickness. That's when we're sick. That's when we have thoughts that aren't going to be helpful to us. That's when we're going to think that people don't like us. It's going to bother us more whether people like us or not. Okay? When we don't go above our physical and emotional limits, we're not going to be as self-conscious about these things. Now...
Well, that was helpful.
Okay, very good. Now, also, in dealing with the topic, do you have courage to be your HSP self? This is something that really should be easy, but it's challenging for all of us. What's the worst that could happen if we dare to be ourselves?
Well, I'm scared because you just don't want people to look down on you. I mean,
okay.
You know, thinking that you're crazy. I've been sent to the hospital back and forth. They couldn't find anything wrong with me.
Right.
And my father and my boyfriend was with me, and they was looking at me as if I had anxiety, like I was on depressed. That's what the doctors diagnosed me with, and that's not what was going on.
Okay.
You know, so that's what I'm afraid of, you know. When it gets to the psychology thing, then I have issues with that.
Okay, but it sounds like you're dealing with it a lot better because you understand
where your anxiety is coming
from.
Yeah, since I've met you, yes. Yes, I have.
Okay. What other reactions do we have when we, you know, what holds us back from being ourselves? Besides people, you know, judging us. Is there anything else that you could think of, or, you know, in ways that we can?
Well, many times,
go ahead, Pat.
When there is a discussion, I find that I don't always have the opportunity to express myself. If there's a bunch of people standing around talking, especially if there's more assertive types, I find hard to get a word in many times.
Okay.
And, like, I'll wait for the opportunity, but then other people seem to have a better knack for jumping in. And then, you know, the discussion ends away. And there, you know, I feel like I haven't gotten to say what I wanted to say. And
Okay, when you do jump in, do you have a strong need to do so?
Sometimes, yeah. But, you know, I'm not a very loud person. I don't speak up a whole lot. I have a jaw problem, too. But, I that might be part of it. But it's just a little frustrating at times.
Okay. Well, do you think if you felt strongly about a topic, if you wanted to get your thoughts known, if you have a strong feeling about getting your thoughts out, you're able to do it, don't you think?
Eventually. Eventually, I'll get my point across.
But also it's going to be the right crowd, too, right?
Yeah,
well, that's true, too. Right, yeah. Yeah.
Because you have no problem expressing yourself, whether it be the in-person meeting or whether it be, you know, on the conference call, you're fine.
Well, yeah, I do think that you know, if I don't get something said, I'll weave it into a conversation at a later date, but I think eventually it comes through.
Okay, what can you do? But you want to weave it in sooner rather than later, is that right?
Well, I would like to, you know. But other than stamp your foot or something, sometimes it's really, you know, hard to get. And I don't know, it's not for lack of trying. It's just, I don't know if there's a certain knack to wear or not, but it just doesn't.
Okay, if you want to get into a conversation, let's say they're talking about a subject. You know, that's where you use your instincts, okay? We highly sensitive people have very good instincts.
Yeah, yeah.
And right. we should use the instincts to jump in at the right time because we know. See, that's the thing. We have all the equipment to know these things, but we don't have the confidence to trust it. Is that true?
That's true. Yep.
So maybe, just a thought, maybe we should just listen to our intuition and to trust the feeling that we'll know when to that you'll know when to jump in when it's right.
Okay.
And if it's not right, who cares?
Well, that's true, so.
Yeah.
But we can do it in a way, but we can do, isn't it true we can do it in a way that's not going to be, that's not going to hurt other people? Because we don't intentionally want to do that.
Yeah.
So how about trust in the feelings that, in the feeling that we're gonna do the right thing. We're going to do the right thing, and we're going to, regardless of what the situation is, whether it's been jumping into a conversation or not talking about a subject or talking about a subject, or maybe we could talk about a subject to this person, but to this other person, we got to stay clear of that. Okay, we have all these things in us. That's what I want to impress upon everyone. We have these things that are in us, and we have to trust that we're okay, that we're fine. We don't have to change ourselves. We don't have to change ourselves to fit in. The right people that are good for us will accept us the way we are. I'm going to repeat that again. The people that are good for us are going to accept us the way we are. And for us to be less stressful, we have to accept people the way they are. We can't expect people to think the way we do because, I mean, the world is composed of different types of people. We just have to accept that. Stay away from people that are no good for you. Keep your distance from people that you have to see on a regular basis, whether it be business, whether it be a family. You know, you have to know where to keep your distance. Okay? And judging by just talking about this, just by verbalizing your thoughts, you're going to feel more confident to be yourself. Because if we don't have the courage to be ourselves, I mean, there's terrible consequences for not being ourselves. Okay, and people pay a real big price for trying to hide who they are. Can you think of ways that people sabotage themselves? You know, if they're not being themselves, if they have to be, feel that they have to be different, how can this show up in their lives? Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
That one, I'm not sure.
Okay, well, but you know what? People feel empty.
Okay.
Don't you have a feeling of emptiness if you feel that you have to be something different? There's a feeling of emptiness, and sometimes when people feel empty, whether it be emotionally or physically, they look for other things to fill that void. And the way they can do it is they might turn to drugs. They might turn to excessive shopping. You know, they're always going to look for material possessions to fill up their emotional and physical needs. But the thing is, if you're not getting to the core of where the problems or the unrest is coming from, you're still going to have that problem. So that's why it's important to know who you are, to be who you are, and have the courage to be who you are and take the consequences, good and bad, and to realize that whatever, however people react to you, you know, your world is not going to fall apart.
Well, that's a good one. I'm glad you said that. That changes
I want you to listen
everything.
To the recording again.
Yeah, I came in late. I missed some things, but I will listen to it again.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I'm glad that you're on the line. And I'm glad, as I said, we're getting these thoughts out there. And, you know, I really appreciate the comments that that everyone is making, because this just adds to the call.
Yeah.
This adds to the call. And don't you realize that we have a lot in common? We all have a lot in common.
Yeah.
And the thoughts that we're all expressing are thoughts that we all have.
It feels good knowing that you're not alone. So
it does.
I can say that. I can say that on my part.
You know what? There is strength in numbers.
Yes.
There is strength in numbers, and we just need to get ourselves into the habit of treating ourselves better. No one can be. Isn't it true? I want to get a reaction from the group. Isn't it true that we highly sensitive people are harder on ourselves than other people?
Yes, definitely.
Yep. I had people tell me that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are we in agreement or disagreement?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why is that? You know what? You know why? Because we deep think everything. Sometimes we deep think everything where it could be to our detriment rather than to our advantage.
Yes, that's true.
So why don't we use our traits to our advantage and to realize what we need and to realize that, you know, we have a choice on how we want to live. And that's something that I want to emphasize in every call, regardless of what the topic is. Very important that we realize that we have a choice of what to do, how to feel, and there's nothing wrong with that, and we shouldn't feel guilty for being who we are. I think who we are is a good thing. I really believe that. And that was before I knew, you know, the more that I'm learning about highly sensitive people, I mean, I'm constantly learning. My thirst for knowledge has never been greater. And I'm hoping that everyone on the call, I hope your thirst for knowledge is not going to dissipate at any time in your life.
No, it won't.
No.
Because we all, you know, that's the key to longevity. Longevity is to have something to look forward to keep your mind active, to associate with people that you have a lot in common with, and to live the life that you want to live. There's no right or wrong answer. The only person that you have to account to is yourself. I want everybody to repeat that on the call. The only one that you have to account to is you.
The only one you have to account to is you.
Is
me.
Is you.
Is me.
Is you. Okay, there's no right or wrong answer. It's what you feel is right. Okay, now, some of the reason why that we don't have the courage to be ourselves is because we might be perfectionists. Do I have any perfectionists on the call?
Right here. Be more than yes.
Okay. Perfectionism is a good thing. Okay, but it can be a bad thing if it keeps you from doing things. I mean we can overthink things to death. And we can think that we're not going to complete something until it's perfect. Is there anything?
Hi, this is Phil.
Hi, Phil. You're back.
Hi.
Phil, I was wondering, where were you, Phil?
Oh, I'm a ditz. That's what's wrong with me.
Okay.
I lost the number. I lost the number, and now at 9 o'clock, I have two emails, and I kept looking on Yahoo, 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 and then I thought, ding, 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 ding. Cliff writes to me on Gmail.
Okay. You know what, Phil, we were talking about being, I just want to fill you in a little bit, Phil. I want to fill you in a little bit. Okay, do you have the courage to be your HSP self, okay? We were just mentioning, people mentioned that, you know, sometimes it's because we're different. Okay,
yeah.
And that should be, that can be difficult because if we're self-conscious about things. Okay,
yeah.
But if we're confident about who we are and what we are, we don't have a problem with other people and we can be our best selves. Do you have any thoughts on the subject while you're on the line? Do you have any courage to be your HSP self? Any thoughts about that?
Yeah. First of all, does this go to 9:30?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Yes, I think it's difficult without confidence. And the way that I feel more confident is with supportive friends and family, and especially a one-on-one relationship. Now, having said that, I don't really have an active one-on-one relationship in my life. So for me, my animals provide that confidence. I have 7 cats and a dog, and those eight furry, living, breathing beings are, you know, affectionate, and they give me lots of positive reinforcement, and they boost my confidence and allow me to be as sensitive as I truly am, my natural proclivity towards sensitivity. Those 8 furry beings give me the support and the confidence to be myself. And without that, and without love in your life and closeness and connection, I think it's very difficult, and in fact, I'll even say that I think people can get sick emotionally and physically without that, and without being our authentic selves. It's important to be who you truly are. I believe that, and that's, I love your book, Cliff. I'm not trying, you know, to peddle your book, but I love your book, and you say that over and over and over again, and I agree.
Okay, well, thank you. But you mentioned a good point about animals, okay? Animals are very comforting to us. I'm an animal lover. I'm sure there are other animal lovers on the call. And we have to, like I mentioned previously on the call, that we really have to pick and choose who we associate with. So we have to associate with people who we have a lot in common with, okay? So, Phil, just a thought, you might want to get together with other animal lovers that feel the way you do, because they can understand. You have a lot in common in talking to people that do that. And, you know, there are just so many different ways that we can, through our interests, is how we can meet people that are good for us. And I know that you're a photographer, that you're an artist, and these are definite avenues that you can meet other highly sensitive people. Now, being an artist and, you know, being a photographer, you're going to find a lot of highly sensitive people because we highly sensitive people tend to be creative beings. Okay?
And
so,
I know that your newsletter really helps, and your online communication and all the, you know, resources that you've provided us. It's just wonderful. It's just a wealth of information, and
well,
I feel support in a visceral way.
Well, I'm glad because, you know, I want to get as much information as possible. Elizabeth has sent me some information that I'm going to put on my newsletter. She's going to send me some more information because if we share information, I'd like to put it on my newsletter because the more information that we have in our memory bank, the better choices we're going to make in all aspects of our life. And as I said, between communicating, between hearing what other people say, I'm going to mention, too, that I've been asked to do another segment on Blog Talk Radio. I'll let you know when that's going to be. It's going to be my sixth interview. I'm really surprised how things have turned out. You know, people have been calling in about it. So if you can't get on the live call, you can download the information. In fact, if you go to my website, www.thehighlysensitiveperson.com, you'll see that on the meetup page. I have links to the interviews that I've done in the past on different topics. Mm-hmm. Also, I have links on the other teleconferences that I've done, including this one will be on, that you can just, so if you miss a call, if you want to revisit, you know, a call that that you want to learn more about, it's on my website. So I'm going to be, I want it to be an ongoing thing for me to have different types of resources on there. And my newsletter, I'm working on my 22nd newsletter. I can't believe how many, you know, how it's done.
Wow.
Okay, but
wow.
It would be very helpful for you to tell, for everyone to tell other highly sensitive people about our group, about about my website. People, I hope that people feel free to contact me if they have any questions. They can contact me directly. My email address is on the meetup page. I'd be glad to answer any questions. Go ahead.
Are we ever going to like all meet up like face to face? Say a dinner or
I'm located in Central New Jersey, and I've had a combination of in-person meetings, teleconferences like this, teleseminars. In fact, I want to mention the teleseminar that I'm having next week. It's going to be about decision making made easier for sensitive people. That's going to be that I have handouts, and also I'll have that recorded too. But that's from making decisions from a highly sensitive person standpoint. But about the in-person meetings, it's very hard for me because the setting has to be right for in-person meeting, because we just can't meet anywhere because I want people to feel comfortable. Okay, so as I said, I'm located in Central New Jersey. I'm open to different types of events. You know, thoughts that you have about it, I'm really open
to
it.
Can I just give a plug for, I'm going to be in New York City on my birthday, which is May 3rd, and
right.
Anyone who is in that area, New Jersey, Delaware, Philadelphia, my sister's coming from Philadelphia, is more than welcome to join us at a restaurant. We're going to have an early dinner at 5 o'clock, and then we're going to go on the Twilight Circle Line tour, and you're invited to that too. So I would love to meet Cliff and Martha and anyone else that
is in
the New York area.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Martha.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I hope you can come.
I'm so busy getting ready to go to England, and I didn't hear from you again. I didn't remember you.
Yeah.
Phil?
Right.
If you want to email me something to put on the website, I can, on the meetup page,
okay.
I can do that. So
let's do that.
I can mention that. So why don't you email me some information, and I'll make sure it gets on the meetup page. Okay?
Okay.
But about
Thank
in-person
you.
Meetings, as I said, it's kind of difficult because it's got to be the right setting, and also I got to pick the day. I'm open to any suggestions that anyone has regarding in-person meetings, I'm open to any suggestions about anything. Unfortunately, I've had some health problems, and I haven't had as many in-person meetings as I would like. I'm going to be sending a group email out shortly regarding that, and I really need help on. I'd really like to have more in-person meetings. I don't know if I can attend at this point, but I'd like to get people together. I'm really gratified in some of the meetings. In fact, this is the 42nd event that I've had in the course of 2 years, and I'm gratified to hear that people have made friendships from the connections they made from this group, and they go on vacations together, and they go out together on a regular basis. And I really would like to hear more stories about that. Also with my niece. Okay,
thank you for everything you've done. You're terrific.
Yes, thank you.
That's I really appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Cliff.
I really appreciate that. Also with my newsletter, I'd like to have human interest stories as much as possible. And if anybody has a story about a hobby or what they do, I can write. I can have an article. Have in my newsletter. If you look at past newsletters that I've done, if you look at the my website, I have. If you look in the newsletter section, I have an archive of all the newsletters that I've done, and I've done guest articles. You know, for HSPs where they advertise their business, or you know, they have a hobby, or they have a thought that would help other highly sensitive people. And if anybody has any. If anybody has any thoughts about that, please email me, and I'll definitely, you know, if you just send me some information, I can write the article and get your approval based on it. You don't have to be a great writer. You can just get me the information. I can do that. Another thing that I'd like to mention, too, is you're going to be, after this teleconference is over, Meetup is going to give you a questionnaire to rate the teleconference, okay? I want you to be honest in what you feel about the teleconference, but it's very important that you rate it, because other people that haven't been on the call are going to look at that. And hopefully other people will be encouraged to participate, you know, because other people have participated. If you got something out of it, and even if you didn't, you know, I really try to improve in everything that I do. So any feedback that you can give about the teleconference is very helpful to me personally, but also it helps other people to get over their apprehension about being on the call.
Okay.
Because people, whether it be in-person meeting, whether it be a teleconference, I always try to put people at ease. Okay, where they can stay as long as they want on the call. They don't have to participate. And if they want to participate, I want them to feel free to jump in. Okay, and also tell other people about what we're doing, because the more people that we have, the more of a point of view we're going to get from other people.
Right, absolutely.
So this is very important. Any topics of interest that you have, or, you know, if you felt that you want to get more into different topics, we can have a part two of certain conferences that you could look at. That's another thing. On the on previous meetups that we've had, you know, there's an archive of previous news, of previous things. Now, I know that we have some new people on the call. If you look at some topics that we've done, we can revisit it. Sometimes we don't have the time to get into it. Also, with the teleseminars that I do, I get more into depth with different subjects, and I normally have a handout between 8 and 14 pages. And what I try to do is to have a dialogue. But what I do, I send a PDF file of the notes, so this way you can look at it beforehand. But also, I leave it optional where I can go over the handout that I have, or we can get into a dialogue of what people have, like for decisions, for example. I want people to get the most out of the call. So they're going to have information they can look at before and after the call to have a dialogue with the call. But also, I'm going to record the conference so they can hear it. So I know, I purposely did that because I know how HSPs learn, because I mentioned before I'm on the high side of it. So we need to think about things. So you're going to have different ways of deciphering the information. Hopefully that's going to be of help to you.
Sounds good.
So any other comments or thoughts about anything?
Well, I want to congratulate you, Cliff, because I listened to your interview on the 15th, and it was just wonderful. And the interviewer started the whole interview off by commending you on, you know, generating new listeners and opinions and feedback, and she complimented you. Cliff doesn't want to toot his own horn, but I will for him because he really got a lot of praise and deservedly so from that interviewer, and she is a seasoned radio professional. She knows what she's talking about, and she lauded Cliff for his ability to talk about you know, highly sensitive people and generate ideas and you know, thoughts and feelings. And she said that her radio show goes up in ratings when Cliff is on. So it's no wonder that Cliff is invited back, and I wouldn't be surprised if he got offered his own radio show, and I'd be all for that.
Well, you know, I thank you very much for that. But, you know, it's really amazing. You know, you talk about going above your comfort zone. It's, I'll tell you how that happened with the radio show. Okay, I was on I'm on Facebook and Twitter, and the lady contacted me, Liz Ann Bach, she contacted me on, you know, from seeing me on Twitter. And she says, I have a Blog Talk radio show. She sent me an email, and she told me to call her. Would I be interested in being on the show? So meanwhile, I was kind of stunned, and also I had a lump in my throat because I had never done that kind of thing before, and that was really going above my comfort zone. And
I did
call her, and I said, you know, I'm really honored that you want me to be on your show. But I said, to tell you the truth, I've never done an interview on radio before. And I'm really kind of nervous about it.
Wow. Well, you did it wonderful.
She said to me, no, you just be yourself. Just be yourself, and you'll be on the call for as long or as short. So I said, how long do you want me on the show? So she said, the show normally lasts for 45 minutes. So meanwhile, I'm thinking, what am I going to say for 45 minutes?
Yeah.
So she said to me, why don't you send me your thoughts on it? And, you know, I'll let you know what I think, and we'll do it. She said, you can stay on for as long or as short as you want to. So that's the way it started off. So anyway, I told her, you know, I gave her a list of some ideas that people might be interested in because, you know, I have a good handle of what highly sensitive people want to know about, and, you know, the kind of things, because I really think about these things. I really give a lot of thought into any program that I do, anything that I have in the newsletter, anything that I have on the radio show are things that I've thought about deeply. So she said, let's go with it. So this is going to be the sixth show, and I'm really kind of amazed, but also it's a learning experience for me because I've never heard my voice. How many people have actually heard their voice?
I have. Me.
I did. Yeah.
I never knew how I sounded. So the first time I listened to it, I was kind of apprehensive, and I really couldn't listen to it for 2 days. Because I was just afraid how I came off. I was just afraid how I came off because, you know, I was on the phone, and then my wife and daughter asked me, well, how'd you do? And I said, you know, I really don't know because I was so intent and listening to the questions that Liz was asking me, and I was just focused on just giving the best answer that I could. And sometimes I don't know how I did. And, you know, I've done five shows before, and I really can't tell how I did until after I listened to it. So I wasn't I wasn't horrified by my voice, but I was really kind of surprised.
Well, Chris,
maybe not so in a good way, but I do have the courage to be myself.
Now, Cliff, did I sound bad, Cliff? Remember
you
when
didn't.
I asked you the question?
You didn't. You know what? And I really thank you. Malika, I really thank you for that, for having the courage to be on the call.
I was nervous, yeah.
Well, you and me both. You and me both, because I don't know what she's going to ask me. That's another thing, too.
Wow.
I care what other people think. Even talking about what we just talked about, you're never going to stop caring what other people think. So you definitely want to put your best foot forward, which is a good thing in any case.
Okay.
But I definitely am very concerned that I don't come off looking like a jerk.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you didn't. I'm sorry I didn't hear it.
Well, you can't hear it. Martha, if you go to my website, you can go to you go to the website and you can click on the link and you can hear it.
I think that I will definitely do that, Cliff.
Okay, but what I try to do, though, I try to put a positive reference on it, because I really believe that being a highly sensitive person is a positive thing rather than a negative.
Yeah.
Everybody has
their idiosyncrasies.
And
right,
I don't believe that we're much different than others.
Right.
And the more that we know about ourselves, the more we can thrive rather than just survive.
That's right. So and be proud of who we are.
Don't you get off when you see a
field of tulips? Now it's springtime, and when you see a field of tulips, don't you just get a whole surge of energy and good feelings?
Yeah.
And don't you feel happy?
And you know what? We should. That's a very good point, because we have the capability of experiencing life more fully than others.
Absolutely.
I believe that's true. Huh? And about the tulips and the flowers and the birds of the spring, like, I just, it makes me so happy. I do feel very deeply, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Don't you feel good? I feel much better in the springtime than I do in the winter.
I do, too.
Yes,
me too.
Absolutely.
Me too.
Yep.
And there's a kind of sadness when it's kind of dreary and it's cold and it's this and that, but it's really kind of uplifting and refreshing when you see the birds, when you experience nature, when you're outside more. Okay?
Right.
It's very important that highly sensitive people be outdoors more.
It's a good point.
Okay.
Because that's another way to recharge your batteries.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay. And the more we recharge our batteries, the less people and things are going to affect us in a negative way.
Right.
Okay.
That's very good, Cliff.
So
that's true.
I'm glad that you've gotten a lot from this call. You inspire me too, because I do have a lot of lulls too. I do have a lot of love.
Who doesn't? Everybody does.
Who doesn't? And especially life the way it is now, where everybody's busy, and you got to deal with life situations regardless of what. You have to do things regardless of how you feel and what's going on in your life. And we just have to move forward. And the way we can do that is to inspire and encourage each other.
Okay.
And that alone recharges us.
It does. And when you can vent your feelings to a supportive group, doesn't that make a world of difference?
Absolutely.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, Phil, I want you to send that information to me. I'll put it on the meetup page. I really appreciate it if you can rate the teleconference. Any questions you have? Any information that you want to talk more about, we can have more teleconferences and I can, get into more topics. Any specific topics that you're interested in, I'm definitely interested. And we'll just go from there. Tell as many people as possible about the call, and you'll receive the link for the teleconference shortly. And I really encourage everybody to listen to it again.
Okay, I will.
And also, as I said, that's the beauty of this. You could listen to it at your own leisure. You can download this to your MP3. You can listen to it in your car. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many ways you can listen to it. But you get...
That's wonderful.
Sometimes you have to listen to it, more than once. It's okay you're on the call, but it's just amazing how you can get more out of something when there's repetition involved.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I made my book very readable, and the fact that I want to encourage people to read it over and over again, because the more that you read it, the more meaning you get from it.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Any other questions?
Can I ask if anyone on the line has recently attended the HSP conference? Did anyone attend the conference?
No,
Jacqueline.
No. Why did you?
No,
did you?
No, I didn't. I'm wondering how it went.
I'm gonna. You know what? I'm gonna find out. I think a couple of people did attend. I'm gonna find out about that. Maybe we can have a. Maybe we can have a conference about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I missed that.
So I'll find out about that. Any other thoughts or any other
questions? Oh, I think it was in North Carolina. Yeah, in Asheville. It was in Asheville, Black Mountain.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right. Okay.
I'm going to try to get information about that. And maybe some people on the call were there. I have to find out.
Okay.
Okay. Any other parting thoughts or questions?
Thanks for a great conference.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. So until again, I'll
okay.
keep you posted on different events. As I said, I want there to be an open dialogue with everybody. So this way, you know, we'll get more out of the group with more people to participate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Sounds good.
So
okay.
On that note,
take care.
Everybody have a good evening.
You
okay.
too.
Bye, everyone.
Okay.
Bye,
everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.